Thank you for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. More on this topic is available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes it possible. Thank you.
Paul says, you are the aroma of Jesus. You smell like him. Yeah. To some, it's the smell of life. To others, it's the smell of death. But give off his fragrance wherever you are. And that's the what I keep coming back to is the profound nature of kindness is not a swap. It's not, I'm going to be kind in order to be thanked. Mm. Sometimes my kindness gets the cold shoulder. Sometimes it gets the shaking fist. Sometimes it gets the finger. But that's okay. Because if we're kind in order for it to be reciprocated, that is a timid and weak kind of kindness. But the radical nature of the gospel, which I think in the long run, sometimes your kindness will be accepted.
Right.
Sometimes it'll be rejected. Yeah. It'll never be forgotten.
Wow, that's good. All right, so it's Sermon on the Mount-ish, a lot of what you're talking about here. You know, the way of Jesus, go the extra mile, don't return, evil for evil, these kinds of ideas. So talk to me about what that looks like in a local church. Yeah. How can a local church, how can they be known for kindness in their context?
Okay, so first of all, don't give up the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't give up the mandate for evangelism. That's at the heart of the local church. But what if the local church was interacting with those that maybe are culturally unfamiliar? What if it was helping out in inner city places that maybe reaching across the aisle with those who have very different political, philosophical, or even theological ideologies? What does that look like? What does it look like in terms of the virtue of hospitality that we are called to, opening up our tables to those who are not like us? If heaven, the Great Supper, has those from every tongue and tribe and nation, how do we reverse engineer that and make our tables look like that today? Yeah. What if we engage in the world of the arts in a way that we are linking arms with a local playhouse and connecting together to put on a production in the city? And the city is this great context for kindness because there's so many ways in which we can maybe push outside of our comfort zones to engage with the other, finding common ground, not necessarily common thought.
Yeah, that's dangerous, to a lot of people. They're like, well, if we do that, we're mixing with the world. I always have to tell people that holiness is not separation from sinners, it's separation from sin. Yeah. So I can be in those kinds of relationships. It seems to me that part of the message of the book was, you can't be kind unless you're willing to take a risk and be kind with people that, it's easy to be kind in our church,
right?
But kindness requires relationships are outside of that. Yeah. So let's go to individuals. We talked about churches. So individually, how can I teach my children, one of whom wants to come to Biola, the first of whom, the others don't know, haven't thought about college yet, how can I teach them to live lives of kindness, not just lives of Christian isolation and evangelical subculture?
Right. So I think that's what keeps me at a place like Biola University, where we have 6,200 students in the rising generation, and I think they have the potential for this grassroots movement and the rising generation. They're more concerned.
They get it more than we do.
They do get it more than we do, but I want to make sure they get it in such a way that they don't capitulate on these deeply held values and their convictions in order to form relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the truth and the grace. Mm. So Martin Marty said this: sometimes civil people I know have no conviction, and sometimes people with conviction have no civility. Mm. And what does it look like for us to be a generation of conviction and civility? Or conviction and compassion, conviction and courage. What does that look like? And so for the rising generation, we need to make sure that the students at Biola University or at any Christian school that might be are leaning into forging relationships, building alliances, initiating collaborations with those who might think radically different than they do. We are increasingly in this post-Christian,
religious
world. Yeah. And so we need to think about things in a brand new way. We're not in the majority anymore in terms of the culture.
Yeah, okay. But what, when you kind of think of how to do that, what do you say to the people who say that your beliefs, you're talking about that center, that your beliefs themselves, those very beliefs are unkind? In other words, I mean, there's certain things you hold that are damaging. Yeah. So you can be nice about it all day long. You can be kind about it all day long. But what you say or you hold is so out of step with the culture. It's a justice issue, and your beliefs are the problem.
You know, I just think you've got to hold your convictions firm.
Okay.
And I think over time, those that I know that I've had deep disagreements with have come to, many have come to love me,
yeah.
and I love them, even though we have this sharp disagreement.
Thanks for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. Your support makes this podcast possible. More information is available at myfaithradio.com.